Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne, and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcasts? Hello and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast. This is episode 20. I am your host, Emily Chadbourne, and we are going to get right into part two of my interview with Courtney DeAndra. So if you haven't listened to episode 19, all good, it's not compulsory, but I suggest that you play catch up at some point and get your ears around the first part of this amazing interview that I've done with this powerhouse woman about what it is to be in leadership, what it is to be in business for yourself, and what it is to be unashamedly human. Tell me a little bit about what you believe to be true about leadership, because I think, you know, we've all got limited resources, time, money, and energy. Everyone has those three resources at their disposal. And when you work for yourself, like you said, you and I don't put hours, working hours in necessarily, but I do see burnout happen quite a lot with young entrepreneurs. I'm not talking about age. I mean, you know, people who sort of start the entrepreneurial journey and they are under this kind of like false understanding that in order to make it work, you're going to have to like work 17 hours a day. And I think part of leadership is self-leadership first and foremost. So how do you manage, because you've got two beautiful young girls and you're a busy woman and you're, you know, in the prime of your life. So how do you manage your own time and how do you help other women manage their time?
Well, it's kind of cliche to say, how do I do it now? Because, you know, obviously I make enough money now to be able to pay people to help me in different aspects of my life, personally and professionally, let it be like a cleaner or, you know, if I've got a busy week, I'll pay to get the food done, or, you know, in my business, a marketing person or a really great accountant or whatever it may be. But the thing is, the teething process being an entrepreneur is in those first couple of years where you're not making that money. So you are working around the clock. And there is no freaking shortcut.
There is no
shortcut.
You've got to really fucking want it in those early years.
And I remember, you know, and keep in mind also when I started my business, I'm 24, 25, 26, 27. Thank God prior to 24, I had partied enough in some amazing locations in the world to have lasted a lifetime.
I didn't
get any FOMO in my late 20s when my girlfriends were like, you never come out, you miss my birthday, But I was really clear with them that, you know, I wanted to get out of debt, I wanted to buy a house, and that's what I was really focused on. I stayed committed to that. So, you know, in those first, especially the first 14 months, where most people that start a small business don't have the liberty of stopping what they do and then starting something new and perhaps not making money with most businesses sometimes for years, you know, and depending on what age you are, I was lucky I was living at home. Yes, I was, you know, helping out with the bills and stuff like that, but I didn't have massive overheads. However, you know, I did work full time. So like most entrepreneurs, they're running it at night or doing it whatever. But you will not talk to any successful person that says, oh, I just like invested into a business and it went gangbusters. Like it just does not happen.
I started on the 4-hour work week. Totally. So true. So, I'm only just at the point now where I'm like, oh, okay. And again, it's about leveraging, isn't it? It's about where can I invest the money that I do have to give me back more time so that I can be more creative or so that I can enjoy my life more.
And I think just on that note, probably most entrepreneurs don't do that early enough because we so don't want to spend money. It's all about your net worth at the end of the day. But then when you realize that you do spend that extra $100 or $200, you're like, wow, I just got eight hours back or, you know, whatever it is.
And what you can do in creatively in that eight-hour time can then make you 20 times more money anyway. It took me fucking ages to learn that lesson.
So there's no shortcut. I think that you have to make sacrifices. Probably the obvious thing that I feel about leadership is Well, my two favorite things to talk about is around discipline and inspiration.
Mm.
And I think to be disciplined in your thoughts and also your actions is just super important, because at the end of the day, I mean, you can teach someone to be an entrepreneur. It's not something, like, I hear people often say, oh, well, you're either born a leader or you're not. I think that's such bullshit. Like, you can teach anyone anything. It's just like someone saying, I can't cook. Well, can you read? Yes. Follow the recipe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's the same thing about leadership. And I have got girls in my team that are making really good money that are not natural born leaders at all, but that they've just followed the process and they're good at copying.
Yes.
The world is about copying. Yeah. Just freaking copying.
There's
copy
no
people.
New idea.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Totally. So I think that that's probably the most obvious thing. So, you know, I think about the pounding the streets, you know, when I was 24, 25, I didn't know lots of people that had lots of money. So I would walk up and down main streets, popping into every hairdresser, nail technician, anywhere where there was women, talking to them about my service, handing out business cards, handing out vouchers, doing whatever. And that sort of stuff, like, you know, there's no, you need to fuck up to learn. Like,
yes.
That's the reality. Like, yes. There were so many things I did, like, you know, door knocks and, you know, bloody paper rounds. Like, you go the long way around a lot of things. Now we're lucky we've got things like social media, which is direct sales on steroids. We've got technology, and that's probably been one of my biggest ahas. I'm quite an interesting Gen Y because I'm not great with technology, even though my dad worked for IBM and Microsoft growing up. Don't know how that worked.
Yeah.
But
well, that'll do it. I don't need to worry about it. Dad can always do it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was really interesting that I probably haven't used technology enough to get where I need to go.
Yeah.
But I now am lucky that I have the resources and the money to be able to pay people to do that, but I could have done that way earlier in the piece. So yeah, my thoughts on leadership are absolutely around discipline. Like, if you, for example, have an appointment and that appointment cancels, don't be like, yippee, I'm going to do X.
Yeah.
Do something productive for yourself. If it's not going for a run, it's sitting down working on another area of your business.
Yeah.
It's not just like, I'm going to do nothing today.
Yeah. We've got free time.
Exactly. And then, you know, around discipline, it's like, what are the activities that I need to do to get where I need to go? So I've always done like an operating plan at the start of every year or financial year and broken it up into quarters. And that is so important because as an entrepreneur, no one's cross-checking you.
No.
Like, there's no report card.
Really isn't. Yeah. So, and that's been the toughest thing, I think, for me is like being my own, like literally being my own manager, like sitting down with myself at the end of the quarter and being like, do you deserve your bonus?
Yeah.
Do you deserve to be paid this quarter?
Totally.
And I'll be honest, there have been some quarters where the answer is definitely not.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I've had some amazing mentors. That's something that I've always naturally been good at since day dot is just networking, finding the right people to give me the right answers, and also just collaborating with people in the same way that you and I collaborate.
Mm.
Like, I'm all into how can you help me, but how can I help you?
Mm.
And creating those sustainable long-term relationships. So I do have... You know, I mean, I'm very lucky. I have just within my own family, you know, my mum, my dad, my brother, who are all equally inspirational in their own ways that have helped me with different aspects of my life and massive go-tos for me. But then outside there, I've got another tier of leadership through Intimo, some external people like yourself that I've met. So I think definitely mentors are really bloody important, really important. So, yeah, discipline, mentors, networking, and then... you know, the other really obvious thing is like, you know, it's okay to get to the end of the year and not be, you know, if you feel, I suppose what I'm trying to say is like, don't fake it. Like if you hadn't had a good run or a good month or whatever, just sit in it.
Mm.
Don't be like, I'm shit. Just be like, that didn't happen because, and I'm going to do better next time.
Yes.
So I feel like I've probably desensitized myself to Intimo and women and like I just get the job done.
Yeah.
And that has been something that I have learned really hard lessons over the years because essentially, you know, I love to teach people. I feel very connected to their success. And if they're not successful for the first couple of years, I would feel like I wasn't successful. It was my job. In the same way that a parent would if their child went off the rails, they're like, I'm a crap mom, I'm a crap dad sort of thing. So I then had to learn that, you know, through the personal development and so much personal development that I've done, like overkill. Like people are like, oh, so like, do you feel like you've invested in yourself? I'm like, yeah, I've done 7 Habits 4 times. I've done this course 3 times. I don't do things once. I just do it over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
So personal development has definitely been a massive key. And when I look at girlfriends of mine, it's quite funny that work at, you know, blue chip banks and law firms and stuff like that. And I see the gap between, you know, they were the people in my 20s that were like, oh, all you ever do is work. you know, is it really worth it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wow, you're now working again around the clock, not seeing your family.
Still earning the same amount of money.
Not any personal development, nothing, and they're so unhappy.
Yeah.
And then inspiration, obviously, being a massive part of leadership. And that's very much, I think, an entrepreneur's mindset around, you know, the corporate world to me is very motivational based. You know, how can I motivate you to get you where I need you to go so that I can get paid more money?
Yeah.
As opposed to how can I inspire? And inspiring someone is totally about leading by example.
Yeah.
So I would never expect anyone in my organization to do something that I haven't already done.
Yes.
It's like, who wants to go see a fat personal trainer?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's not rocket science. So I do feel like, from a certain perspective, like I need to be ahead of the game all the time.
Mm.
And it's good. It keeps me on my toes.
Same. Do you know, sometimes when I'm like, God, I cannot be fucked to meditate today, I'm like, there is no way that I'm getting on a client call tomorrow and being like, well, let's talk about meditation. If I haven't meditated today, like, it keeps me, who I need to be for my clients keeps me so accountable to who I need to be for me.
Wow, that's that makes so sense. Powerful.
It's amazing the amount of stuff that I would fucking just really not powerful. Bother doing if I didn't have that level of integrity.
Totally. And I think there's some things in life that you just, it's as scientific as gravity. Like I've tried to meditate from 20 years old. I've tried yoga and meditation, and it wasn't until I was pregnant with my second child. I got really bad postnatal with Cleo, who's 5. And then when I was pregnant with Jordan, who's now 3, I was so fearful of, oh my God, I'm going to go down a rabbit hole, blah, blah, blah. But I knew that every successful person that I know in the freaking world, personally and professionally, meditates.
Everyone. So there's not one who doesn't.
So many times to do it, and finally, thank God for that Headspace
app. Oh, isn't it great? Yeah, that's how I got started as well. Headspace, yeah. Well, I'm about to launch some interesting meditations next week. Yeah, it'll be really, I'm just testing. Not yet. So, I'm just going to launch them through that crazy thing called Life and then my YouTube channel. So, I've just done 5 for now. I'm going to test the measure, and actually, this is going to brilliantly segue into like trying stuff and fucking experimenting and not being attached to the outcome. So, meditation, I think, for a lot of people is really misinterpreted. I think a lot of people think that it needs to be transcendental meditation. You need to go into the depths of your unconscious mind and you need to create a Zen space or you don't have thoughts and you know, stop becoming you. Like, that's fucking impossible. I don't know about your brain, but mine is way too fucking clunky for that shit. And although sometimes I do just sit down for 20 minutes in silence, a lot of the time I sit down, I'm still, and I let my thoughts dictate where my brain is going to go. Wow. And I sit there with a journal. And it's more like, for me, it's a bit more like contemplation than like zone out meditation.
Wow.
I think for me, meditation is about hearing myself because all of the answers I'm looking for are within me. And while I look externally for answers, your answer is dictating how I live my life. So I'm going to feel further and further, like more and more disconnected from myself.
Yeah.
So for me, meditation quite often is, like I said, 20 minutes a day in complete silence. But sometimes it is like just sitting on a mat with an idea or a thought or an emotion and allowing myself to feel it. And that can be really uncomfortable and it can be quite upsetting at times, you know, like sitting with anger. That's not a comfortable experience. We don't get taught how to do that resourcefully.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time we get told we shouldn't be angry. So we demonize that feeling that we're having. But in my world, if you've got a feeling, it's meant to be felt. So
yeah,
I'm kind of like creating some content to give people the opportunity to try meditating in that way. So it's a bit more like contemplation than meditation, like just sitting down and being with your emotion.
Wow.
But when I first had this thought that I should, and you call it what you want, it came to me in meditation, whether or not we call it a download, whether it's fucking spirit speaking through me, whether it was just quiet enough for me to have an idea. And to be able to see how it might flow and contribute to the world around me. You know, my initial reaction is, okay, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to like record 72 fucking recorded meditations and it's going to be amazing. And, you know, my expectation on how I want it to go is all the way up to fucking like Deepak Chopra kind of level. And then obviously I have to have that chat with myself, which is just give it a bash, like test and measure, like don't put such an expectation on it. Just try something out. Test the market, and if it works, awesome. And if it doesn't work, that's also awesome.
Mm.
And I think in my early days of being an entrepreneur, I would try something and I'd be so passionate about it and I could see its potential. And so my sort of expectation around like producing a piece of content or doing this video or, you know, whatever it might be, this marketing strategy, and I put it out there and then it didn't harvest the return I expected or it didn't get the attention that I wanted.
Mm.
And my initial response would be to be extremely disappointed and to feel like a fucking failure.
Mm.
And when you're in that vibrational state of being disappointed and feeling like you intrinsically are a failure, it's really fucking hard to take any more action. And so one of the things that I've learned, and you touched on this, with you know, you fucking went door knocking, you tried things out, a lot of stuff worked, but a lot of stuff didn't work. I think there has to be, like, you, and you find it however you find it, but you have to find a way to make peace with the fact that a lot of what you are going to do in life, not just in business, in life in general, isn't going to work. You just have to make peace with it. I don't know. I don't know whether these meditations are going to work. People might watch them and be like, "Well, that was shit."
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, they work for me.
Yeah. I think if you do your best with everything that you do, that you just have to be okay with it, regardless if it works or not. That's how I feel. And one massive, massive thing that I have thought about, but the beautiful David Fountain, one of the owners of Intimo, has said to me just recently, which was like, oh my God, it's like Einstein, progress over perfection.
Every time.
Like,
every time. Yeah.
Three words. And I feel like the world in general, personally and professionally, is just sucked by that.
Yeah.
Like, we just try and get it perfect all the time. So I've often reflected on, there's another lady at Intimo, Tracy, who her and I are quite similar in some ways, quite different in others. But one way that I've really sort of, and I've learned a lot from how she's run her business, is, you know, execution is one of the most important things being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
If you are sitting down writing a business plan and you haven't started your business, or even in your even if you're in your first year or year and a half, get to fucking work, is what I'd be saying.
Yeah.
Like, trial, test the market, go out, talk to your customers, make shit happen, then think about planning.
People
are planning to plan.
Yeah, so true. Or they're planning on stuff that they don't know works. And so then when you remove that section because it doesn't work, the rest of the fucking plan doesn't work either. So it's a complete waste of your time and energy.
Yeah.
One of the most useful pieces of advice, most tangible pieces of advice I got from a business mentor of mine was, stop fucking thinking about it and execute.
Yeah.
Execute, like, fail really fucking quickly.
Yes, fail faster is one of my favorite terms.
So important. Like, try it. If it doesn't work, awesome. Try something different.
Mm-hmm.
Try it. If it does work, brilliant. How can we make it work better next time?
Yeah.
And that's all you can ever do in business, in life. And again, it's a bit like coming back to where we started, which was like, you got made redundant. What are you going to make that mean?
Yeah.
Right. I tried this. It didn't work. What am I going to make it mean? Am I going to make it mean that I am intrinsically a failure and I'm not cut out for this? Or am I just going to make it mean that that thing that I tried didn't work, so I'm going to try it a different way?
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
What's been your, like, biggest life lesson in business to date? Because I'm sure you've got more coming.
I know. That I couldn't put my finger on one, but what's my biggest life lesson in business? Probably don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God. I think
that's probably the biggest thing. You know,
I'm still learning that one.
Yeah, and it goes across, you know, different phases of my business. If I think about it from a leadership perspective, in the sense of mentoring the girls, like, you know, everyone's got their shit. I would consider the culture of our team and our business, you know, corporately wide, a really, you know, not bitchy culture. Everyone has each other's back. Every now and then you get someone that comes in that doesn't fit in the culture. She doesn't leave quickly sometimes, and she creates that poison. And what I've realized now is that the value of money is worth nothing. It does not matter how much money that girl is bringing into the business, because the trail of bullshit that she leaves behind will take years, sometimes months, to be able to unravel.
Yeah.
So you would definitely back someone who is a lower performing person who's really connected and hardworking over someone who has got a shitload potential but's battered up with the virus.
Yeah, and it's so true.
And that's very hard for entrepreneurs, especially in the early days where you are, you know, you need that income to build.
And you, without doubt, I absolutely took on clients that I should not have taken on because I needed the money more than I needed the peace of mind.
Yeah.
And actually, God, it was such a lesson. And now I'm just like, nah, we're not a culture fit.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. And every now and then someone slips through the net and that's cool.
Yeah.
But I'm in no way, now I'm just like, look, I don't think I'm going to get you the result that you're looking for.
Totally. Totally. Mm. I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been massive.
There was, I went to see Brené Brown live a few months ago. Wow. Oh my God, that was amazing. And she was telling the story about when scouts go out to university football teams and they're scouting for, you know, players or whatever. And what they're looking for on the field isn't the person with the most skill, because kicking a ball, that level of skill you can teach.
Yes, yeah.
What they're looking for is who bounces back the quickest.
Oh, wow.
From a failure.
Yes.
So if they kick and the kick goes a meter to the left and they fucked it, it's who bounces back from that, who goes, okay, all good, moving on.
Love it.
And that's what they're looking for, because that is way harder to teach than the actual skill level of making sure that the ball goes between two posts.
Yeah, that's exactly the same in our business. We have some people that come in that sell 10 grand with the bras their first month, and then 3-4 months time, they're not even here.
Yeah.
So I look for the person that consistently does the hard thing first. So for example, someone calls up for an exchange, you can either just deal with it over the phone and let the customer send it back into Intimo, which would be an easy, efficient way of doing it. Or you travel across town, sometimes in peak hour traffic, to refit that customer, A, to see what you're doing wrong, but B, to strengthen the relationship, and a lot of the time sell them more products.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that is also a massive misconception in any business, that you do not need millions or thousands of customers to build a sustainable business.
Yeah.
You just need some key influencers and ambassadors that are really, really proud of who you are, your service, and essentially from a referral perspective, are confident enough sharing your services, and then your business will start to grow.
Yeah.
So treat every customer like your last customer, and treat your team like you've got 1,000 people in it.
Yeah.
That was one of my key learnings really early in my business.
Yeah. Treat your team like you've got 1,000 people in it. Does that mean like getting in like systems and strategies and boundaries really fucking early on?
Really obvious things, like, you know, the first girl that came into my business that achieved something, I bought her an Oraton wallet.
Yeah.
Well, 10 months down the track, I had 20 girls in my team. I couldn't buy 20 Oraton wallets.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, and it's the same thing with, you know, like we've changed meeting areas like a handful of times, because if you get to capacity, subconsciously your business just doesn't grow.
Yeah.
So you need physically more space so that you can always see room to have more people in the room.
Mm.
And absolutely things to do with systems with your team. You know, if you're going to allocate 5 hours to one person to help them, well, how can you do that with 1,000 people in it?
Yeah.
Like, you have to have time in your life to be able to fill it.
Yeah.
So I talk to some people that have, you know, 20, 30 people on their team, and they're like, oh, I'm so exhausted. And I'm thinking in my head, you're not going to grow.
Yeah. Because you're now at capacity. You've capped your level of capacity. Yeah, that's so interesting. So really early on, start. Like, and I had to learn the same with clients. I did one-on-one coaching for about 2 years, and all I did was one-on-one coaching, and like there's only so many hours in my day, and I just hit burnout, and I just got to the point where you begin to feel a bit resentful.
Totally.
And when you're in a place of like, oh, for fuck's sake, I've got to fucking speak to you today, I mean, no one's benefiting from that energy. So yeah, that's why, you know, leverage really early on.
Yeah. So it's kind of opposite with your customers. So you want to treat your customers like you've only got one customer.
Yeah.
Treat your team like you've got 1,000. Sort of like the opposite mindset. So with your customers, as I was saying before, you know, you're just always going the extra mile for them.
Yeah.
But ideally using technology and outsourcing things so that you can create that customer connection.
Yeah, totally.
And strength without you physically having to do it.
Yeah. Amazing. If you could give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Wowzers. How old?
Let's go 18.
Oh my God, that's not young. What would it be?
Let me ask you a better question.
Okay.
If you were to give your girls one piece of advice, what would it be?
Try everything.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely something that my parents, you know, growing up, whether it was to do with physical activity, sport, or whether it was travel or whatever, I just think I had such a consumption of experiences by the time I hit, you know, ready to start my business. I had an overwhelming amount of confidence in everything that I did. You know, and I, you know, went overseas for supposed to be, you know, 3 months at just 18 years old, you know, went and worked in London and came back a year and a half later and just worked and traveled around Europe. And I'm sure my parents were absolutely beside themselves at the idea of that. But I built so much confidence and strength and life skills during that time.
Yeah.
And that was just a flow on effect though, that, you know, for the opportunities that I had and the things that we had done when I was younger, but also the fact that I threw myself into lots of things.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say to my kids now, which is why, you know, when it's a rainy day, people don't go outside, we go to the park.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to do everything that's random to help build up those skills and that resilience and that desire to just want to try things.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that doesn't necessarily, I mean, yes, it really helps if you've got a mum who is going to show you the way, like you are doing with your girls and like your parents did with you. But, like, I see a lot of women who feel like they're too old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I'm too old to do that now.
Oh my goodness.
And I just think that is the voice of your egoic fear, which is just keeping you safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a story that you're telling yourself. Mm. And it's not true. It doesn't matter whether you are fucking 4 years old, 40 years old, 80 years old. Mm. At any given day, you have got the free will and you're living in, like, the fucking privilege of the Western world. You can go out and you can try anything.
Yeah.
And that might be picking up the phone call to a doctor's surgery to say, hey, let me come and talk to you about this range of bras you've got. It might be going to the park in the rain. Yeah. It might be taking that holiday, which you've convinced yourself up until now is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Like, life is so short. Go and experience it.
Oh, absolutely. And I've learned so much from people, you know, in different areas and ages, absolutely. But, you know, I think that there's definitely businesses that are more open to having people at different ages, whether you be 19 or, you know, 69 sort of thing. And direct sales is definitely one of those businesses, because people that buy from me wouldn't buy from my mum.
Yes.
My mum joined in tomorrow. People would buy from her, wouldn't buy from me. Yeah. So everyone has a different vibe happening. And I think there's someone out there for everyone.
Yeah.
Really.
And actually, that's a really, really lovely way to close this conversation, which is that, you know, you're not everyone's cup of tea. I'm sure you have met people in your time, Courtney, who've been like, who the fuck is that? And you have to acknowledge, the way that I look at that is like, there are 7.7 billion people on this planet and I know not all of them are going to like me.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's okay, because I'm pretty sure that of the 7.7 billion, I don't like most of them. Exactly. But the people I like, I really fucking like.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's okay if you don't like me, because I like me.
Yeah.
And I think once you get to that point, and like, fundamentally, everything that you have spoken about today and that you shared so generously with us is that the fundamental foundation of it is that you like who you are,
mm-hmm.
and you've got your own back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an accident. That's mm-hmm. not divine intervention. That's not luck. Mm-hmm. That's because you've fucking done the work on
and
yourself.
And still do the work. Oh, and my God, I'm forever. Crazy. I mean, there's been lumps and bouts in my life of, you know, extreme tragedy, then massive highs, and I've bloody struggled as well. But
oh my God, the
day.
Conversation that we had before going live. But yeah, like, everyone has got shit going on.
Everyone has got shit going on.
And you don't get to bypass that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not getting it better or worse than the person next to you. The only difference is, have I given myself the emotional resilience, the understanding, the greater knowledge, the depth and the faith through my own personal development, spiritual development? Have I given myself as many tools as I can possibly have to handle what life is going to throw at me?
Totally.
Because you don't get to avoid that. Like, you can sit at home in your fucking safe job 9 to 5 with the same friends that you went to high school with, in the relationship that doesn't make you happy, going to the same holiday destination year in, year out, and being scared about, you know, financial ruin coming your way, so you're going to sit on fucking 10 grand in the bank and never fucking spend a penny of it. But the reality of the situation is, life's still going to do life. Life's still going to fuck you up the ass, so you may as well take some of that money, get out of that shit relationship, meet some new people, go and experience the world, because that is what will have you handle what life is going to throw at you.
That's
not
so
staying
true.
Safe behind your white picket fence. That is, you are, you, that
always,
is where the pain is, ironically.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Oh.
Well, you are amazing, Miss Emily.
You are too. Thank
you so much.
Let's be complimentary scents together. You've been an absolute legend. So in the show notes, I'm going to put links to anything and everything that you've got to share. With our listeners. Thank you so much for your time. I know it is precious, but I think today's just been a beautiful demonstration of how, when you really believe it and you really want it, you can absolutely create anything for yourself and contribute to the world.
So true.
At the same time, you're a legend. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Emily. Ta.
Oh my God, how amazing is Courtney? I mean, could not love that woman more. What you didn't hear was the hour-long conversation that we had before we started recording, where we laughed and we cried. And I think one of the things that I hope came through in the interview for you is just the very essence of this woman. She has got such a beautiful, positive outlook on life. And, you know, shit happens to everyone. Everyone's got their stuff going on. And arguably Courtney more than most at the moment, but, you know, regardless, she's just got this understanding that the world will do the world, and all she can ever do is her very best to respond to what is going on around her. and to serve as many women and to help as many people as she can in the process. So a true fucking champion in my book. Let me know what you loved about this episode. You can either use the hashtag unashamedlyhuman and get in touch with me on social media, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife is my Insta handle, or you can join my free Facebook group, That Crazy Thing Called Life. If you want to make it private, just feel free to email me info@emilychaplin.com. If you loved this episode, I really, really ask that you share it. Tell your girlfriends about it, tell your mum about it, tell your auntie about it, tell Sue down the road about it. I'm sure Sue will love it. And as always, hop over to iTunes, rate and review it, because the more that you rate and review, the easier it is for other women to find this content. And dudes as well. Come on, dudes, let me know you're listening. That's it for me. I'll see you in the next episode, or hear you in the next episode. Thank you very much for listening.
If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough. We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories, and these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can wake up with M. Wake Up With M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion. A daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. Head to emilychaplin.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.